Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And it's Christmas week in Hollis, Queens. And
oh, yes. Happy Christmas.
I know Sife is psyched up for the holiday season.
You're actually a topic in one of my stand-up bits right now.
Really?
Yeah, I go on stage and I go, what the fuck's up with these New York Jews celebrating Christmas?
I like this.
And then I go, my boy Pete, and then everyone, you know, people go, huh? Did he say the J word?
And I go, you have to use me to quell.
A J word pass.
You need me for your J word pass.
Yeah. So I go, my best friend and co-host, Peter Rosenberg, is one of these New York Jews that loves Christmas. And he's not even a New York Jew. He's a Maryland Jew. But he has that New York love of Christmas vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Jeff Friend.
I'm sorry?
Jeff Friend.
Jeff Friend?
Jeff Friend. He is a diehard day one Juan Epper. Okay?
You met him in Chicago?
Oh, did I?
Yo, you know what's nice about you doing the comedy shows? You meet a lot of Juan Eppers because it's something that our people come out to support.
My manager had a long talk with my new manager. Was like,
you have a new manager?
New manager, you know.
Go ahead. Oh, wait. You can't do that. Only I can do that. You have a new manager. Is he?
Yeah. So, well, he's not the manager. He's like the manager's right hand man, but he's the one. He's my day to day.
You have a day to day?
Yeah, my manager's Italian. He's a fucking Italian.
And are these like comedy managers?
They're fucking gangsters. Yeah. Yes, comedy managers.
Are they legitimate? Are they credible?
Yeah, Jim Serpico. He's very legitimate. My manager. He was like, Sife, listen. He goes, I know you're not drawing big crowds on the road and, you know, we got to build up to it. We're working up.
I like this start. Did he use quote signs? Did he go, I know you're not popular. I know people don't like your comedy. I know people don't laugh at your jokes.
But he was like, yo, you got to take it seriously with the promotion because, no, not you.
Oh, no, I'm taking this story seriously, though.
So he's like, you got to take it seriously with the promotion. He's like, you got to push hard. And you got to start. He's like, you're not going to get 1,000 fans the first time. You got to build up to it. You're switching careers, da, 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 all that shit. He's like, it looks really good to the club when you really promote the show. Now, if it doesn't do well, they can't say, hey, he didn't promote. You know what I mean? Like that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. He put me in a good mental space.
Okay.
So I pushed Chicago hard. And man, when I tell you the Juan Eppers came out, I don't remember all their names.
Just Friend.
Jeff Friend was like, he sent me a really nice Instagram message, but he was really cool. But he was a day one. He's a day one. And And then there was another guy, I forgot his name, but he brought the one up his dead shirt. I signed the shirt.
Ooh.
It was a couple good goons in there, man. It was a couple of 45-year-old Puerto Rican dudes.
Really?
In Chicago, man. Yeah, it felt really good. And for some reason, a lot of them came to Saturday Late Show. It was like, I don't know if there was like a, just Juanep feels like a Saturday Late Show. You know what I mean?
It really does. It does feel like a Saturday Late Show.
But they pulled up, man. So shout out to all the Juanep fans, man. They said they love what we're doing. Oh, this guy said, oh, this is my wife or my girl. He goes, this is the girl you're talking about when the girl's in the car with her boyfriend. And she goes, what the fuck are you listening to? And she's like, yeah, like I didn't get it at first, but she's like, I like you guys.
Wow.
You sad losers that can't seem to get anything right. You're cool.
So we shout out these people.
Yeah, it's for the people. This is Street Radio for Unsung Hero. Riding in the Rego, trying to stay legal. My daughter found Nemo, I found a new primo. Yeah, you know how we do. We do it for the people and the struggle of the brothers and the folks. The lovers of the dope. Experiment to discover.
It's crazy that he says, referring to Ye, I found the new primo.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah. In every chorus.
Hey, tell your
yeah,
tell
babe,
COVID ass girlfriend.
Babe, it's COVID times. You can't be coughing like that.
Yo, her cough was so loud.
You hear that? The whole podcast heard that.
Yo, your bitch got Roni.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
And are you allowed? You shouldn't make fun of people even if they did have that.
Why?
Because everyone has it.
Anyway, Chicago was great. Man, bro, as a friend, man, like when I tell you this stupid, non-important weekend turned out to be life-changing, bro. Life-changing. Hmm? You know, I don't headline a lot. When I do, it's few and far between because, you know, all the big comics are taking the little headlining spots because there's nothing, you know, they had to catch up for the last year.
Right,
like
wow.
You'll see like an Aziz Ansari at a comedy club or instead of a theater, like just to like work, you know what I mean?
Just to be back out there, right.
So I got four shows in Chicago, Friday and Saturday. It's not even Chicago, it's Rosemont, it's like outside of Chicago.
Oh, I know, it's where the other building is for WWE.
Is it?
Yeah.
Rosemont, Illinois?
Yeah, the Rosemont Horizon, is that what it's called?
Oh shit, that's crazy. So, you know, I'm nervous. Oh, do I have an hour?
Oh yeah, it's now Allstate Arena, but it's in Rosemont, Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was nervous, and I don't know if I have enough material, bro. Every night, I didn't even get to all my jokes. Like, the first show cracked something in my head where I was like, "Oh, I got this. I got headlining. I got it." And every show was different. Every show was different, but I had it, and I had it, bro. And it was like, it really, like, I'm never scared to do a long set again. Because I was like, I did the first show was fucking incredible. Second show, straight shit show. Like, straight, the crowd talked the entire show.
He's doing a lot of talking. I never realized how much talking.
So I'm outside of the club and you think I'm a punk. So I go to my loaded tank. Now let's open the trunk.
Can I just say something about the song that doesn't make sense? If you are going to the trunk to get your Tech 9,
yeah,
doesn't that in and of itself say you are scared?
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, you are scared. That's why you got the Tech 9.
Yeah.
You're saying the words you're not scared, but if you weren't scared.
I guess he's saying he's not scared to use the Tech 9.
Right. Okay. I mean, I guess it's different standards for scared. Wait, so Sif, how long was each set you were doing in Chicago?
like, you know, 50-55 minutes, 50, like 50. An hour.
So are you getting into new things you've never, like, almost stuff you've barely done before?
Here's the thing. Not really that I have never done before, but I always work in 10 or 15 minute chunks. And I gotta try to ram all this stuff into 15 minutes and try to get as many jokes as I can. When you do a longer set, it's so free. You can let the jokes breathe. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And so, like, I'm saying things I never said before inside of jokes that I normally do because I have more openness. And plus, it's something different to, like, not having to go first. I go first 90% of the time. People love me. I'm either the host or I'm the first guy because I set off the room.
Right.
So, like, with the comics I work with, they like me because Syph, you always get them. You always get the energy right. You set them off. But it's hard, though. Mm-hmm. So now I walk into a room that's already warmed up. The guy, Jim Flanagan, great comedian.
I love Jim Gaffigan. Yeah, he's great. He's opening for you?
Flanagan.
Jim Flanagan.
Flanagan.
Is he like Gaffigan?
He looks like he likes to eat.
There you go. You mean he's fat?
No, I'm not fat. Jim Gaffigan's not fat.
No, true.
But this is a little... It's some, you know, it's some meat. It's some meat there.
Okay. And, well, by the way, also, I imagine people are also a couple drinks in now by the time you get on stage.
That's right. That's how they had their drink.
They've loosened up.
Loosened up. And they don't know me. I mean, some people came for me, but not. It wasn't packed by any means. And, like, Omicron's out there, baby. Omicron is out there.
It's out there. It's in the building.
Katie Weiner, I believe her name was, or Weiner. I think it's Weiner. Did a great job. My boy Damani, he did a couple spots too. But bro, they're like, they're trained, like, they're warmed up. They got a host, they got an opener, they got a feature. Here I come. And I go right out right away. I'm like, y'all don't know me, but we're gonna have a good time. So it breaks the ice. Like, who's this guy? And right. The whole weekend I was joking. I was like, listen, you know, I'm very famous in New York, and you know, my agent called me. She's like, I got you in Chicago, you know, next weekend. And I'm like, I know someone canceled, but that's okay. Nobody right. called for me. And then I go, but where is it at? Chicago? Oh, downtown? Oh, no. Oh, the one by the airport? Okay. So I just kept. I kept going. They got the big guy. The big stars are over by the airport.
Yeah, and apparently so.
Crushing.
And are you gonna post any stuff that we haven't seen before? Any of the stuff that you got into this weekend?
Of course.
Congratulations on your new manager. I didn't know you had a new manager.
Yeah, they're great. But yeah,
Syph in his career has had enough managers that you'd think he was like a drunken drug addict rock star who fires management every 3 years.
I had that many managers.
Come on. You've had by the way, I'm not saying it's unusual because people do switch managers as they're trying to, like, you can't be with the same person forever. But, like, okay, you've kept one person forever. You've kept Jamal forever.
Jamal is my business partner and my best bud. You know what I mean?
Right. So you've kept Jamal forever.
He's a manager by title sometimes, where it's like he does the talking. And then we'll confer. All right, tell him this, tell him that. Tell him Cypher is in a bad mood. You know what I mean? Like, just tells him shit.
Right.
We're talking about it all together.
Got it. Right, exactly. So he's a business partner. He's been around forever. Your first manager was Jessica.
Jessica, the famous Jessica.
Right.
The creator of the Tunnel nightclub party, the Mecca.
Jessica from Stress.
Flex's manager.
And people called her Stressica?
Jessica.
Wow, that's funny because my nephew started calling my niece Stressa.
What's her name? Jessa.
Right.
Is she stressful?
He said that she's been getting, like, stressed about school, and when she does, he calls her Stressa.
Yeah, anxiety.
My brother said that he can tell early on that Jessa is going to be one of those girls who's like, oh, I didn't do enough work. I didn't study. Blah, blah, blah. What'd you get? 94. You're like, I thought you said you didn't know anything. Okay, so you had Stressica.
Okay. And then after that is basically Jamal, like, took over the, we did it ourselves, but Jamal and Kev. And then you went into, then I went into Roc Nation, which was also just like an umbrella. Oh, Flex was my manager for a while too.
Flex was your manager.
Flex had the Big Dog Pit Bulls, you know, he was like the, we were under his management company.
Speaking of which, by the way, we'll get to this later today, because people are, is this, this is our last episode before the holidays, I suppose. Yeah. This is our Christmas spectacular.
What about next week?
Well, that's after Christmas.
Before Christmas, yeah.
But at some point today.
Christmas Eve, Caroline's on Broadway, Cypher Sounds and Will Sylvan's.
Broadway.
Christmas Eve, Caroline's on Broadway.
Caroline's on Broadway. Why do I find that?
A lot of the Jews to come out. All my New York Jews come through. Jared Freed's on the show. Matt Richards, Jared Freed. The Jews love Jared Freed.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me what we love. You don't know.
Oh, I seen it.
So,
if you want a bevy of hot Jewish girls, go to a Jared Freed show.
Really?
A lot of goys also.
Why do you think so many hot girls came to one up his life? Live.
Why? What's happening?
Come on, that was funny.
What's happening?
Jared Freed was supposed to be on it and he backed out.
Right.
And there were a few people that were like, we came here for Jared.
Would you say at One Up is Life Live, One Up is Live, there was so many hot girls?
Yeah, I mean, he said that's why there were so many.
I was making a joke, okay? Jesus Christ.
Billy's got COVID.
Billy has COVID. And by the way, I am into like bad mood Billy who just pops into the screen and then yells and disappears. I'm into bad this, Billy.
Bad mood Billy is fire.
Speaking of bad mood Billy, the name that just popped up on my screen. And Cypher, we'll get back. Hold on. So remember where we were, though. Manage, yeah. Remember, Billy, write this down. Cypher's managers, okay? Because I got to get back there.
All right.
We bring in our guest, Bing Bong Bundy, a.k.a. Nems, Coney Island's finest. How are you, sir?
What's up, you fucking Omicrons? What's going on over there?
Well, was it Homicrons with an H?
No, he said I thought he said Omicrons.
Omicrons.
I thought he said Homicrons. Like, I thought he mixed homosexual with Omicrons.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Homocrons.
Cypher, don't get gassed.
What's up, Nems?
Yo, do you even use that anymore?
Yeah, everybody uses it. Wait, turn your phone.
There you go.
Perfect. Oh my God, perfect.
Yeah, he still gets lots of people yelling Cypher, don't get gas on the street.
Yeah.
That's how you know people are old. You be like, I gotta get away from these old motherfuckers. if they know that, she's old enough if she knows that.
Definitely a gauge.
Yo, that's such a great and fucked up idea that if someone remembers your old shit, that means you shouldn't fuck with them anymore. You've been supporting me for too long. I'm out.
Yeah, fuck your life.
Fuck
your
life. Yo, what?
So,
what
let's,
is happening with you, bro?
Let's give for the people, there, I guess there's three versions of Nems for the audience. There's the version if you're a hardcore, like, real New York rap head, you know, the kind of people who fuck with all the kind of shit that, you know, people who knew all the artists on my album who really fuck with underground New York. You've known Nems for a minute because he's been doing this and really been successful as an underground rapper coming out of Coney Island, made records with a shitload of people. Then there's people who, I guess four versions, because then you have the Bing Bong crowd that knows him as the man who came up with the song that ignited a movement when the Knicks used to be good earlier in the season, Bing Bong. Then
that became a song.
That no, it started as a song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
what type of DJ are you, bro?
Yeah,
I'm not about the game, baby.
And then after Bing Bong, there's the Joe Byron sketch, which is probably the biggest viral thing that's going related to Nems. And then there's the fourth caliber of people who aren't listening to current underground rap and aren't on social media and are going, who the fuck is this goon from Coney Island y'all just brought on the show? That's all versions of Nems. But yo, congrats on the last couple of months, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
What the fuck happened?
Oh, I don't fucking know, bro. I know it is. You know what happened? What I've been working for 20 years happened. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever got me to this point was getting me there, but this just so happens to be it, man. I just listen, Syfe had me on this fucking show 5-6 years ago on the improv show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've always been doing this funny shit, but not really doing comedy, but just being me. You know what I'm saying?
All I do is joke. It's funny you were talking about Jamal Rosenberg. Jamal hit me and goes, yo, and he's older than me. And he's like, yo, you see this guy? You see this guy, this bing bong shit? He goes, how do I know? Like, he did your show, right? I go, yeah. He Mems did my improv show and scared my improvisers, yo. He was telling a story about robbing cab drivers or some shit. And the white girls on my show were like, oh my God. This is
and this is that Syfe, which improv show is this? This is at UCB?
Yeah, UCB.
And first of all, Nems, let's get something important out of the way here. What is your ethnic background? What are you, Albanian?
Hell nah. Everybody sees something different. I'm Puerto Rican and Irish.
Yo!
Just like me.
Syfe.
Bing bong.
Syfe.
Yeah. Bing bong.
Syfe, you gotta start a fucking mob, yo.
I know.
You, Nems, Ricky Velez, and there's right. And who's the other one we mentioned recently? There's another person who's half Irish, half Puerto Rican. I just saw two.
Yeah, we should start the mob.
There's not many of us.
Apparently, there's more than I thought. But, you know, so, and you're Coney Island born and raised?
Born and raised my whole life. I live in Staten Island now. I just bought a house out here. But I'm Coney Island my whole life, born and raised. My family was been in Coney Island since the 1950s. Like literally lineage since... Since they put projects into Coney Island, my family has been there. And
your family was cutting; they were cutting the ribbon at the opening of the projects.
The project. That's a good one.
So wait, how close do you live?
How many stabbings were there with the big scissors after they cut?
Get out of here!
How many? How close are you? Like, to the amusement park of Coney Island, to the fucking roller coaster. How close are you?
I'm on the other side. Like, so when you get off the train, there's one way in, one way out of Coney Island. When you get off the train, there's the rides. And then there's the opposite direction is the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
The rides is like around West 12th Street. I'm on West 33rd. So I'm all the way on the opposite end.
Wow.
But I grew up right on the beach. Like my projects, you come out the door, make a left, and the beach is right there. It's beachfront property.
Is your direction closer to like Brighton and the other neighborhoods?
No, it's the opposite.
Opposite. It's further up. God,
okay. It's like the bottom of Coney Island, like the end.
So what's at the other side of that? Is there anything on the other side of that?
No, it's just a fucking island. So literally at the end. You go back out the same way you came in.
Wow. Now, I guess that makes sense. And so for people who haven't seen the video, and you would say at this point, Nems, now the bigger pop off, the Joe Byron shit has gone past the bing bong. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
hey, give me started off. Go ahead.
Syfe, what are you doing with a regular mic, bro?
I got a regular mic.
I know, I can tell.
I don't have that radio money anymore.
All right, so yeah, break down the order of how you got there and what exactly transpired.
Well, it's weird because I thought like the highlight of the year was going to be when Fat Joe called me the new Fat Joe, right? And
that's
that was
good.
Like on the first episode of Rap City on like the beginning of November, right? So I was like, yo, nice way to end the year, right?
And he just shouted you randomly on some love?
They was asking him, like, yo, who's the new Tupac? He was like, the baby. They was like, yo, who's the new this? Who's the new that? They was like, yo, is there a new Fat Joe? He was like, there is a new Fat Joe. His name is Nems out of Coney Island. Out of nowhere. And so
did you ever meet Joe before?
Like, a couple days later, I was like, yo, that was fine. A couple days later, the Knicks start saying fucking bing bong. And then it just stopped being a Knicks thing and became a fucking world thing.
But so you made a song?
I have a song. My album dropped August 20th, and on there is a song called Bing Bong, produced by Vinny Idol from D-Block. And I was saying it since before that, like, when I went to get a trademark, like, I own Bing Bong, right? So when I went and got a trademark, I had to look back and when I actually fucking put it on the t-shirt. And right. It was May 28th of this year because I was
2021.
Yeah, 2021. Okay. Yeah, so what I was doing, and I was saying it before then, because how I got there was, like, I do merch, right? So I will put on my Instagram story the new merch that came in, so I'll be with my phone. I'll be like, yo, you know, hip-hop, RZA, bang. Then, you know, yeah. Yo, check this new shit, bang. I got this new, look, and then we got this, bang. And then one day I was just fucking around. I was like, you know, let me show you this new shit, bing, bang. And then people started laughing, and I started saying it more.
Yeah.
And then Side Talk hit me, and then I started saying it on their shit. And then it just became a thing. Then the kid from the Knicks, that kid, obviously from seeing me on Side Talk, because I got like 3-4 episodes, you know, emulated it. The Knicks started saying it, and you know,
and they played the song.
The song, yeah, the song. That's the first single off the album. That shit came out. The song came out August 18th. Cause the album.
Can you hear this?
Yeah.
I'm back. Real late, told him. Who want what? We up late night, yo. Fix your face, stupid. This that big gorilla shit, but it ain't babe, stupid. We outside getting cake, stupid. The first night, why you took her on a date, stupid. Ask her how my taste, stupid. Bozo, you got a face, stupid.
Hey, Jessica, I'm really having a great time with you. This has been a really nice date. I gotta ask you something, and I don't want this to sound weird.
No, go ahead. What is it? No, listen. I have a good vibe with you. Just be open with
okay,
me.
Okay. Is it true you went out with that, like, the Bing Bong guy, Nems? You went on a date with him? Is that true? And because I was wondering, what is his? I know this is weird, but what does his dick taste like? I'm just
yo.
You a bit late, stupid. In Times Square, handing out your mixtape, stupid. Who does that? I'll frisbee that shit. The people.
Who does that? By the way, it's such a great question that you asked, too, because you have been on the grind pushing hip hop for years the hard way and working a regular job. You've done the whole shit. And it's so funny because you're right. Whenever you see the cats in Times Square, I'm always like, who are you guys? Like, you're not part of anyone's scene. You thought the path was just go fucking stand here? Except Kosha Dills. But he didn't even start there. He somehow ended up there. Like, who does that, though? Who's like, yeah, you know what the path is? I'm going to force people to put on these headphones.
Rappers. They're hustlers.
They're just hustlers.
They're making tourist money.
Cars don't even got CD players in them anymore, bro.
Right.
Bro, they strong-arm Taurus.
They do. They actually do. They scare them.
So if you remember the day when I actually tried to have a reasonable conversation with that guy back in the day.
You thought they were rappers.
I know. I thought they were actually rappers, and I was like, I just gotten up here. So I'm like, well, you know what? Today's your lucky day. I happen to work at Hot 97, so if you want to give me your CD. He was like, what? You could pay for it? I was like, no. I work at Hot 97. I'll take the CD and listen to it. He was like, for $12? I was like, okay, forget it. I guess this, you don't understand. So the
I like Nem's. I like Nem's stand up energy. Maybe we should start standing up doing the podcast.
Listen, yeah. I have an uplift desk. If we could do that,
oh, we getting money. Yeah. he just stunted on you.
Like, I know my shit.
Yo, I got an uplift desk, bro.
My laptop's on
a regular mic, bro.
My laptop's on a milk crate. This is fucked up.
See this?
Wow, bing bong.
Bing bong. How's that taste? Pause.
Hey, yo.
So wait, now, but
is bing bong the train noise? Because that's what people say.
Yeah, people do think it's the train noise.
Yo, I was at the Giants game yesterday, right? I was in the suite, so the host.
Wow, big stunt again, young stunt Nems. Okay, were you eating so the host fucking said, shrimp the size of your head?
I felt bad because I was like, this guy's gonna think I'm an asshole. Okay. I was like, bro, it's not the fucking train thing. I said, yo, if the catchphrase right now was ding ding, you would think it's the train thing. Ding ding. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I told you it's really fun. Everybody, right. You know.
I love watching.
That's what the haters say. They don't want to give me credit. So, yo, it's the train station, man. Get the fuck out of here.
I love these TikTok breakdowns of the bing bong. They're like, well, there's these three white guys talking, some podcast, whatever it is. He's like, no, well, actually, that's the noise that the train makes.
Yes.
And I was like, Yeah, but I don't think that. I think it's like, nah, boom, bong. That's how, you know, that's how we emphasize shit. I mean,
I gotta see that.
Yeah,
they banned me from TikTok.
They banned you?
Not banned, but I can't post nothing. They deleted my account and then they put it back. That shit went from like 1,000 followers, because I don't really mess with TikTok, to like almost like 600,000, 700,000. I was like, wow. I started posting my videos from Instagram, like me fucking with people. Y'all don't disrespect me looking like fucking Cyndi Lauper, like just fucking with people. And they fuck, I guess people on TikTok report it for bullying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they fucking took it down.
TikTok is very woke sensitive, bro.
Wild pussy. TikTok is mad pussy.
Yeah, you know what? You said it way better. TikTok is wild pussy. Yeah, they don't get the New York talk. Because I post up my stand-up clips, and sometimes they'll take it down for, like, you know, community guidelines. And I was just like, the fuck did I say?
Yes,
like,
absolutely. Yo, and Syfe, I need to big you up, man. I did stand-up the other day, like 2 weeks ago. Bro, that's the most nerve-wracking shit I ever did in my life, bro. Way more scarier than rapping.
Bro,
I felt like Eminem in 8 Mile, throwing up.
I can see you running up into, like, your enemy's projects with the burner, being less scared than going on stage.
Yo, 100%,
it's the
bro.
Craziest shit.
Yo, I told them, they said, yo, you want to host? I said, that's easy, bro. I'll do that. I get there. I see the whole room. I said, I think I'm going to cancel. I don't think I can do this, bro. Luckily, I just like sat and just watched the whole room. I just got on stage and was like, bro, I'm not a comedian. I just started roasting people.
Yeah, I saw.
And
I saw
the clip. It was a good time. But I have a whole new respect.
You roasted me.
Yo, Billy June, what's up, you little fucking armadillo without a shell?
Tell us the story of how Billy June disrespected you.
He disrespected me big time. Yeah. Look, yo,
I did not disrespect
me up, bro.
You.
What the fuck is that? As soon as I tell the story, this guy pops up on the screen.
Yep, crazy.
He looks like a human earthworm. Don't ever disrespect me. Yo, so Billy June, out of nowhere,
okay,
goes, yo, Nems, I'm having a comedy show. You know, you want to come by? I said, I'll come by if I'm available. 3 o'clock the same day, sends me flyers with my name on it. Yo, performing live tonight, Nems.
Yo, Billy
June. Mr. Bing Bong.
Yo, Billy June, what the fuck, bro?
I said, yo, Billy June, first of all, I told you maybe. In my mind, I wasn't going.
Right.
I always tell him maybe. Second off, I'm like, yo, Billy June, right now, I'm getting paid stacks wherever I go. You put me on the flyer, like, as the main attraction, bro. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yep. That's stacks right there, Billy June.
But you know what? That kind of, like, forced my hand where I had to do it. So he kind of, like, you know.
Wow, you strong-armed Nems, Billy June?
Yeah,
good for you.
No. He didn't strong-arm. He soft-armed him.
He really
did.
Yes. I've never seen that, Billy June.
He soft-armed him.
Wow.
Yo, what are you so quiet for? You nervous over there, buddy?
Yeah, I am nervous.
Why?
Why, bro? How many times have we hung out, Billy June?
I know. They keep calling me a hype beast. I'm hyped because I've hung out with you so many times for so long. I'm excited for you.
Wow. That's nice.
There's a video of us from like years ago of you like getting in my face and me trying to get in there.
Yo, what was happening?
thank you for not pummeling Billy June that night. Because yo, honestly, the reason why
and I let him roast podcast, me,
we do our podcast again. Billy June made us do this, and now it's better than ever. But
wow, this is touching.
The stand-up stage is for you, bro. You got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. Yeah. Definitely. I like it. I like that.
It doesn't have to be straight-up stand-up comedy, but the shit you do will work perfectly in that realm.
Yeah, I just got to figure out how to formulate it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that begs the question. So what is it you most want to do now that you're getting a taste of sort of everything, like... But it's not necessarily all, it's a little complicated because it's not directing it all towards your rap shit either.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So what does it make you want to do? Have you had any thoughts about how to approach this?
The music I love, man. I never stop doing it. But and the formula for how I make music is I just make what I want to listen to. Like if other people like it, so be it. So I'm good on that realm. But I'm trying to touch all the avenues, but still music is the main venue for me. I love that, and that's been my goal and my dream. But now it's like, all right, now I could, Now I can do this. Now I can do that. Now I can fucking quit my fucking job and stop throwing out fucking garbage at 6 a.m, bro.
By the way, so let's talk about that. Let's. When did you quit the garbage man job, bro? This is a beautiful thing to hear. When did you quit?
I'm actually out sick right now.
Oh, so you didn't?
As everybody can hear, I'm under the weather.
Right.
I don't have corona, so obviously I'm out sick right now.
So you didn't?
They just asked me. So the year before, like in December, you pick your vacation picks for the next year on the Department of Sanitation. So they was like, yo, what vacation picks you want? I said, bro, give me the first 5 weeks of the year. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take that, figure out, you know, and then probably going to resign. But, yo, what happened was I came out of jail in 07. I got paroled to my mother's house. And she said, yo, I signed you up for this test. You got to take it. I said, bro, I'm not fucking being the garbage, man. I'm like, there's no way I'm not taking this fucking test. She said, listen, if you want to stay paroled using my address, you have to take this test.
This is the Irish time, mom I was or fucked the Puerto up. Rican
I was on mad drugs. I took that shit.
She's Irish or Puerto Rican, Nem?
Huh?
Your mom's Irish or Puerto Rican?
My mother's Puerto Rican. My father was Irish. He passed away when I was 4.
Okay. Oh, my God. Saif, you guys are like the same person. Okay, keep going.
So, yo, I didn't go to sleep that night. I was on wild drugs, got 100 on the fucking sanitation test.
That's telling. That's very telling.
Right? So they didn't call me for fucking 6 years. Right? So I forgot about it. One day they called me.
6 years?
Department of Sanitation wants, you know, your number is up. You know, now it's, you got to come in. It's like a lottery. So I'm like,
oh.
I was like, all right, let me go in. And I started, bro, it's like, the first year or two, the schedule was crazy. But after that, bro, like I wake up at 6 a.m. Like I wake up at 4 a.m, going at 6. I'm finished with my route. 8:30, 9 o'clock, because I run it up. I get it done. And then I'm chilling for the rest of the day. I take a nap. Or I do what I got to do. It wasn't like a, you know, if I had to have a job, it was the best job to have. 6 figures a year.
Yeah.
Unlimited sick days, pension benefits. And I get a badge. I'm a felon. Cops will pull me over. I'll be like, yo, oh, sanitation? Man, go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
What about, have you ever found anything crazy on the route?
Everybody always said, nah, fucking, I had to pick up a dead fucking dog one day. That shit, I was like, yo, I'm not doing this. I'm leaving this shit there. Rats, I don't fuck with the rats, bro. If I'm picking up the garbage, I see rats, I'll be like, bro, I'm leaving that shit. And then my partner will be like, bro, we got to get this. I'll be like, bro, you can get it if you want, but I'm not touching that shit, man. Fuck
Wait,
that shit.
But aren't they sometimes like so in it, like they're just in the truck? Don't they end up in the truck too?
Nah, not really. Once in a blue it happens.
But more often it's just that you get to a pile of trash and they're all up.
You can see it though. Like you can see the inside the bag, it'll be moving. I'll be like, nah, I'm not touching that.
And you'll just, if there's a question,
I'm leaving that shit. I don't give a fuck. Fuck your garbage. The next guy will pick it up.
Yeah, what are they gonna do? What is that person gonna do? They're going to call a complaint. They're going to call 311.
You're going to call 311? You're still going to fucking have to wait till the next garbage day, asshole.
Who's going to care? Where does that go? What chain does that go up? You know what I mean?
It doesn't. It goes into fucking thin air.
It can't go anywhere unless, like, I don't even, like, unless you rob the house, maybe then it would be like a investigate. But, like, if you just left garbage, just put it out the next, you know, the next 3 days or whatever.
So I have more questions. You start out at 6 figures in that job, or you had to get to it?
No, you get there after 5 years, you work up to top pay. So that's really how I started the merch, to be real.
Well, I was going to say, because I saw you outside this past summer, pre all of this, and Saif, it was at, Saif, you remember the event I went to, the underground event I went to that I did a little set at, and
Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn, and everyone got COVID.
Yeah,
except me. I didn't. Thank God, I didn't get that.
Yeah, me neither. But it was a super grimy underground situation.
Yeah.
And Nems was outside, standing outside of his car, and that was when I first got the vibe that he is the new Fat Joe. Because with all these underground, I didn't know Joe said that. I just thought it. Because all these underground cats are around, and Nems is a part of that. But yo, you look so clean. It's ironic that you're a man of garbage, because literally he was the cleanest man on the block, fresh car, standing in his, like, you know, standing in the door, looking like $1 million when everyone else looks like $35.
Yo, that garbage shit is real, man.
It became my side hustle. Like, because in the beginning.
Oh, because of the merch.
Yeah, bro. But in the beginning I was like, As soon as I signed up, I was like, oh, about to go buy a house, cop an X6. Yo, I'm doing all of this. I seen the first check after taxes for a whole week. It was $390. I just moved into a new apartment by myself. I was like, I can't live on this. What the fuck? I thought I was set. It was like, nah, you start off here. After 5 years, you hit top pay. So I'm like, fuck. I didn't have credit. There was the car dealership was like, bro, it'd be better if you had bad credit because you have no credit history. Because before that, I was hustling. I saved up, but I always dealt with cash.
And how long have you been in? How long have you been in jail for?
I was in. I did a 1.5 to 4.5 for robbery.
Okay.
But that was back in the days. That was 06. I came home in 07. But I maxed out credit cards, built up my credit, and then I was like, I got to do something like this. I got to have a side hustle. And I made hats, got them made in China, 50 of them, sold out. I was like, I made it again, but it took like 6 months from China. So I was like, I can't, this is too sporadic. So I started finding places in New York, getting jerked, getting fucking, you know, paying too much, and then trial and error, and then it just became a well-oiled machine, and I made six figures just off of DMs. Like, I didn't even have a website. I was just doing it strictly through DMs, everything. But every year, at the end of the year, I just sit back, and I'm like, all right, how could I elevate this to the next level? Every year with everything, with the music, with the merch, and life in general, every year, at the end of the year, I just try to make goals and be like, yo, how can I bring what I'm doing now to the next level? And then eventually, right when Corona hit, I made the website, but I actually made six figures in like the first 60 days. And
what merch was that? What was the main? What was the main merch that was selling when you did started doing really well?
Everything. See, what I did in the beginning is I would drop shit every weekend, and once it sells out, I don't make it again. Like so, people started knowing, like, yo, we gotta get this. So I would make like 100 hoodies. Yeah. 100 hats. Once they're gone, they're gone. I don't care if you're my mother. Like, yo, I want this hat. Ma, they're gone. You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting it. And it built up the demand. And then when I dropped the website, I brought everything back. You know what I'm saying? All my designs back.
Oh,
and
dope,
it just and just flooded the market. And now that shit is all there. FYL.NYC. And, you know, I bought amazing. My mother a house off of that shit. You know what I'm
Come
saying?
Come on. Merch. You done that?
Bought myself a house. Sanitation legitimized my shit, but the merch is really what took it to the next level.
Bro, that sanitation, the guys that used to run security for the tunnel and the managers for the tunnel, they was in sanitation. They'd be in the tunnel until 4 a.m.
Yep.
And they'd be like, all right, we gotta go, we're gonna go to work real quick. And they would go do sanitation.
Facts.
And they was
there's a garage right around the corner from the tunnel.
They was bringing out bags of money. Because they would transport the money to where, I don't know where it went, but to the bank or to Peter Gation's house or whatever. And then they would go do their route. That's how important it was to them. Like, it was in their family. They're like, yo, we're not giving up this route. Like,
yo, sanitation is, like, yo, it took a lot for me to make the decision to resign, bro. Like,
yeah,
it's a great job.
No, it doesn't even sound like, it doesn't sound like you've all the way made the decision. Sounds like you're still struggling to make the final call.
Nah, I'm definitely doing it. It's just because right now I'm trying to figure out the pension, the benefits, like after 5 years I was vested, I keep a pension, but that don't kick until after 22 years. I'm good. No matter where I'm at in life, I know I can hustle my way into anything. And legally, I'm talking about, not even illegally. And then I'm just trying to get the benefits to kick in. I think you gotta be there 10 years. I haven't been on 10 years, so I'm trying to like figure it out with the union. The union, man, those guys are the best. They take care of their people. So I'm very pro-union, man.
Yo, by the way, Saif, for some reason, there's a lot of things. I'm on the website right now, FYL.NYC. It's a really awesomely simple website with all the merch. First of all, I don't know why. I just laugh every time I see one of your sweatshirts or hats that just says, don't ever disrespect me. And Saif, at the bottom, it says, this is my favorite thing on the website. Due to COVID-19 issues, allow 14 days for items to be shipped. No refunds. All sales are final. Facts. Fuck your life.
Facts. 14 business days. Regular days.
Sorry, 14 business days, so, which is like a year.
So, all right, so boom. So the song.
De Blasio is pussy. How'd that hat do?
Great. Cause look, now the cat's out the bag. I'm a sanitation worker. This fucking guy tells us we gotta get fucking vaccines. I'm not pro vaccine. I'm not anti vaccine. But like, yo, don't tell me what the fuck I gotta do to feed my family. You know what I'm saying? Fuck your life, you asshole.
By the way, it's a brilliant hat too, because Democrats and Republicans all hate De Blasio.
Exactly. Everybody hates him. I'm saying, they got the Statue of Liberty with the middle finger. Fuck your life.
Yo, you think? You think? I think the city's getting so bad. We need Giuliani back, son. We need Giuliani back.
Sife. That's bro, you wouldn't want this version of Giuliani back.
Come get these homeless people off the street, Judy Giuliani. Where you at?
By the way, that would be a great skit. That would be
where
a great
you
skit,
at, bro.
Yeah, he's.
Rudy.
He's lost. He's not the same as he once
I
was.
I know. I'm just saying we need that energy.
You think it seems that crazy outside? You think it seems worse out than
bro,
it did?
It's you know how I know it's bad? There's dog shit in the street.
You're seeing dog shit in the street?
God forbid. I see it.
I know. Huh? He said, God forbid.
You remember when we was kids growing up in New York, there used to be dog shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
And then Giuliani came in and was like, get these homeless people out of here. Crack dealers, you got to go to jail. That part was a little rough for a lot of our people went away. But like crack dealers, jail, homeless people underground, and clean up your dog shit.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, okay.
Yeah, the dog shit went away. My dad used to always tell me about how much shit there was in New York. He said it was fucking everywhere.
It was crazy.
Yo, one of my neighbors let the dog, like now I'm in Staten Island, bro. One of the neighbors, I came out the other day. I just repaved my old shit, new grass. I seen dog shit, bro. I was like, bro, you fucking kidding me? I went on my fucking camera system. I checked for the last fucking 2 days, bro. I couldn't find it. I was like, bro, if I see any mid-sized dog on my shit, I'm punting that shit, bro. Yo, right in front of the owner. The disrespect is crazy. Don't ever disrespect.
Don't ever
dog shit.
So the music, the merch, and then somehow the shit starts rolling into the side talk shit. Don't ever disrespect me. Then what? This Byron shit. Like, what happened there?
So was that just yeah? What's the story with that dude? Do you know that dude from just around the way?
Yeah, he's from the block, from Coney Island, man. I mean, originally I don't know where. I think he's from California. I always ask him, yo, how'd you wind up in Coney Island? My mother said I'd never make it back to Coney Island. I'm like,
what does that mean?
I don't know
what that means. Right.
But okay. But fucking the side talk kids hit me and they're like, yo, we want to come to Coney Island, shoot an episode the first time. So I'm like, no problem. Like that's the trade with them. You know what I'm saying? They got the followers. They got the platform of the younger generation. I got the hood. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do with everybody. That's the trade off.
Right.
So I was like, come through. And the kid Trent, who usually does the interviews, I was like, this is not going to work. Here, just give me the mic, bro. I got this. You know what I'm saying? And then I just opened them up to my regular world, bro. That's literally, like, when I'm in Coney Island on the block, I treat everybody the same, man. I was at the bottom in life. Like, I was homeless. I was, you know, I was fucked up. So I treat the homeless people and millionaires the same. I'm going to joke on you, laugh on you, have a good time. That's just, like, real New York shit. So I just gave them a glimpse into my world. The Byron guy, you know, he just, his name is TJ. Actually, we started a GoFundMe. He just got his own apartment. He's
I just saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the post yesterday.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
How much did he get on the GoFundMe?
Bro, like 40,000. He got more from that video than any of us did. People be commenting, yo, before he got his apartment, yo, people that don't know, you know.
Right.
Yo, make sure TJ gets his money. I'm like, bro, this fucking guy.
He got all the money.
Yeah, he got all the money. He made more than any of us. He made 40 racks off that fucking video.
So he's got an apartment now.
In the Bronx. Yeah, yeah. So he's just, you know, that's regular shit when the cameras are not on. Bro, he's breakdancing with no shirt on in the middle of the street, stopping cars, kissing cop cars, like fucking around. And literally, that's every day. So I just opened the cameras up, like let the side talk kids come in and show the world Coney Island on a regular day, and they just, you know, they
good, good on the side talk kids to realize when you grab the mic, good on them to realize this is what it should be and not worry about trying to put yourself in it because it worked with you in it. And I understand what it's like to want to have yourself in it, but it was better this way.
Nah, they're it's Jack and Trent are the two guys. Those kids are geniuses, bro. They're good kids. They're smart. They know what they're doing. And they're savvy. And one time, you know, they were scared their page was going to be taken down or something. I told them, I said, yo, Jack, man, even if your shit gets taken down today, you guys are set, bro. You've created so many viral moments already. You guys are set.
What are their other big viral moments? What's like the original? Do you know what the original shit is?
Well, they had the Spider Cuz kid. They kind of made him. The Nick shit. was their shit.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That started the whole Bing Bong Nick shit. They did a couple things. Like, if you go look at this, they got a couple shits, a lot of shit that went viral, bro. They're smart kids. They know how to edit it right. They're good kids. Like, I fuck with them. You know what I'm saying?
I was saying, like, it's just a combination. It was a great cocktail of success. They're smart enough to go get you. You talk to the guy. The TJ guy said something funny. You reacted. And the way they edited it. And it's like, it could have just been just a regular video on their page. And once these things catch.
Yeah, that's
it. The thing about it is you're authentic. It's what you do all the time anyway. So.
It's nothing made up. Like, I'm not being anybody that I'm not. Like, I'd rather laugh with you than fight with you. Like, as I get older and more mature, man, like, when I was younger, it was like, oh, I gotta be this way. Nah, man, I'm myself. I enjoy laughing. I enjoy having a good time. And this is just my sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is New York sense of humor. Like, we fuck with people. There's nothing ever malicious or bullying. It's just how we fuck around. You know what I'm saying?
And I hope it just has caught on.
And I think people see that. Like, it's like, yo, I'm not trying to be nothing. I'm not. It's just man. This is what it is. Like it or not. If you don't like it, fuck your life.
You know what I fucking hate? I hate. I've been on some shit lately with these people that gentrify New York and gentrify Brooklyn, and they come in and they say, you can't say that. That's offensive. I'm like, no, this is how we talk in New York. You can't tell me how to talk in my town. You need to learn how to talk like we talk. We don't have to come down to your fucking sensitive level. This is how we talk in New York.
Where are you experiencing this, Saif? Take me through it. I want to hear more.
You know how I be trying to get with these white girls?
No,
you know what's funny? You know what's funny? I got a joke. I don't want to ruin it here, but I got a joke that I do. That if I do it in the hipster crowd, it always gets a, ooh, like a groan.
Do it.
I did that shit in Chicago, and it got the biggest laugh. And I was like, thank you. That's the right reaction.
Well, because it's just an offensive. It's on the line.
Kinda.
Right. Not really. Even that bad.
It's like it's about a certain race.
A certain race. Go ahead.
Certain race.
Okay.
And then you know, they'll look around like, oh, you can't say that. Like, yes, you can. We all can joke about each other.
Yo, it's
There's
crazy,
no malicious
bro.
Intent that, behind it.
It's ridiculous. It really is, man. Like, I'll say what the fuck I want. Yo, that's why the fuck your life thing works, because it's like a built-in shut up. You know what I'm saying? Yo, you can't say that. Fuck your life. Yo, I didn't get my merch in the 14 business days. Fuck your life. Calm down. You're going to get it.
It is. It really does work. It's so funny, by the way. I was just watching an interview, Saif, with Brian Cox, you know, who played...
What happened there?
Yo, what, you got a fucking thermos, bro? What are you doing with your life?
That was my favorite.
Half a gallon of water, baby.
That's my favorite moment of the interview so far. Brian Cox is the star of Succession. So if you're up on Succession, right?
I thought you meant Brian Michael Cox, the producer.
No.
And he hit R&B songs.
You know that?
Oh, Brian Cox. Yeah, he was in 25th Hour with me. You know, I let him be in 25th Hour.
Yo, that's so nice that you let him be in that movie with you. No,
I met him when I did 25th Hour. He's super cool.
He was talking about how his main phrase on Succession is yelling "fuck off," and and people are coming up to him on the street now and asking him to say "fuck off." And he was basically like, it's perfect because he can just respond by saying "fuck off."
Yeah, it's the best.
It's like fuck your life.
Absolutely.
No, it's perfect that you're from Coney Island too, because I love Coney Island as like just a place to go a couple times a year in the spring, right, summer, whatever. Go hang out, and me and my girl love it. And it's weird because in some ways, you think it would feel super touristy because it's famous and it should be like a tourist destination, but it's not. It's like, it always feels like the most fucking podunk local New York shit ever. Like,
It's not tourist, but it's like, if you're visiting New York and you're a real one, you'll go check.
Yes, that's what I guess. That's what it is. If you're if you're going to visit New York, right? But you're willing to put in the work to go to Coney Island, and when you get there, be around the most random hood shit going on the whole time.
Yeah, be cool with it.
If it's the fucking best, and it is so uniquely New York, the entire experience of it. So it's one of the things that I love about your whole shit blowing up and how fucking raw it is, because every time I go to Coney Island, I look around, I'm like, this is real life? This is every day?
Yo, it's bringing all types of people. The other day, people from Holland came by my block, people from the Jersey Shore, people from Tampa. Like, I'll just be randomly chilling, and a group of people, oh, Bing! I'm like, yo, how did you people find this? One guy was like, yo, I saw Boost Mobile in your shit. I Googled Boost Mobile in Coney Island. There was three of them. I Googled Earth, all three of them. I saw this one. I saw the fruit stand around here that I noticed from the video. I Googled the address, and then I came and met you. I'm like, bro.
Listen,
it was a Sunday afternoon, so it was.
Bro, well, he's going, listen.
You might come on a late night. I might not beat it.
I was about to say, he's going too far. If I can't see the fucking entrance to the baseball stadium in Coney Island, I ain't there. I'm not far off the strip.
Yo, I told him, I said, yo, listen, you good while I'm here? You're good money. Nothing
after
happened.
I'm gone?
But if I'm not here, like...
Fuck your life.
Come on, I'll bring you to Nems. I'll bring you to Byron.
Bro, I went to Minneapolis. And I was doing this little comedy show outside. And it was literally two blocks from where George Floyd was killed. And they were like, yeah, it's right down there. I was like, I want to go check it out. And I was with this girl, this white girl. She's a songwriter from Minnesota that I've been trying to mentor. And we go walking down there. Bro, it's straight hood. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize, I'm not thinking like it's a memorial. But I'm like, it's not like World Trade Center where it's like downtown, like it's in the hood. And I'm walking with this 22-year-old white girl. We're walking down, and I was like, oh, fuck. We don't belong here. This is still the neighborhood. And I go look at the place where it happened. I got all teary-eyed. I turned around, and she's getting hustled. The white girl is getting hustled behind me, and they're like, hey, they didn't come to me. They knew better. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, no, he knows what he's doing. They go to her, and they go, hey, everybody comes around here, but nobody helps out. So, if you could, help us out a little bit.
Ghana.
Oh, and I was like, yo, let's go. Let's go.
Facts.
And we start walking back. I was like, oh, this shit is crazy, bro.
I didn't realize that either about the George Floyd location.
You
don't think
about it because you see the corner and all we see is the news of it. But it's like houses right next to it.
Yeah.
And like businesses are affected because the whole shit is blocked off. And like I'm walking through this block and there's like wild Jamaicans on one side, like that's probably the weed spot. And there's like these hood dudes on the other side. And I was like, it's getting dark. Let's go.
So Nems, what's your current project right now that people should be checking for?
Congo. It dropped in August. So a couple months ago, I feel it's like my most complete body of work. And it dropped in August and we're still running. I still got like 2-3 more videos to drop off of it. And then top of the year, it's me and Scram Jones' album, Beast Music. And we're taking it from there. And
there's a lot of people on this joint too, by the way. A lot of people on this Congo project. Tony Sunshine's on here, UFO Fieve.
Well, with Congo, what I did was I didn't know I was going to be making an album. So I was doing songs randomly with young talent from Coney Island, because I'm at a point now where I was like, if I don't genuinely fuck with somebody, man, I don't care. I'm not a big feature guy. I don't care. Like, unless I genuinely vibe with you and fuck with you, like, it's not make or break. I feel I'm not a feature heavy artist. Like, when I do an album, I feel like you're coming to listen to my shit. I don't want to flood it with other people's thoughts and ideas. Like, nah.
Do you ever come off any big money to try to get a feature and then realize this experience is fucking annoying? I don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, when they pay me?
No, other way around though. Like, did you ever take your money you were saving up and be like,
I paid nobody for a feature.
So you've done the opposite. You've gotten paid and been like, this guy's a cornball. Let me just take this money.
I'm never posting this.
Right.
I'm never posting. I'm going to take the money and run.
Now because the person was a cornball or the song sucked or
the
both?
It's mostly because the song sucks.
Oh, that's an awkward spot.
Yeah, I'm not going to front. Like, you know, somebody offers me $8,000-$9,000 for a 16-bar verse that I can write in 10 minutes. I'm taking it.
Right.
And then you're going to give me another fucking couple thousand for the video. If the song is whack, I'm not posting it. There's some people that came to me with dope-ass shit that I was going to charge, and I just vibed to it and fucking gave them a free verse. You know what I'm saying?
Right, it's, just because you fucked with it.
It's the opposite way around, too.
But you were saying, so this, you weren't planning on doing an album with this. You were just doing your shit, and this just came to be.
Yeah. I was going to, well, me and Scram was working on this Beast Music album for a minute. Then Corona happened, and we was just like, let's just take our time with it, perfect it. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't even tour off of it, nothing. So let's just take our time. So I was like, I haven't dropped the project in a minute. I want to drop something in the summertime. And then I banged that album out in 3 weeks. Like, I don't know. Usually I like to take my time with albums. I don't rush it. But something just, you know, I caught the bug and just, like, went crazy. And I had certain songs with kids from Coney Island that I probably wasn't considering putting out. I was just like, you know, I want to show love to, because even before this viral shit in Coney Island, they look at me like I'm fucking signed, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm one of the only rappers to come out of there. So it's like, all right, now I'm going to put my hand down and grab everybody up, you know what I'm saying? And especially now. So, and the songs that I did wound up being fucking dope, like with these young artists. So, like, I don't care about the names. I care about putting out quality shit, regardless if you got a name or not. Let's fucking make some dope shit. My last album before that, Gorilla Monsoon, is fully produced by this kid named Jazz Soon. When I met him, he had 900 followers on Instagram. Like, I didn't care. He made dope shit. Like, I didn't let their following or their popularity base my opinion. This kid made some fucking fire shit. And that Gorilla Monsoon album is fucking front to back one of my best works that I've dropped. And if I would have cared about, like, popularity and all of that, you know, it wouldn't have came out like it did. And that taught me a lot. Like, man, fuck this hype beast shit, man. I'm gonna do dope things for the right reason.
Fuck hype beast, Billy June.
Yeah, Billy June, fuck your life.
Yeah, exactly. Calm down, Billy June. Hey, between Gorilla Monsoon and your name here on the StreamYard saying Bing Bong Bundy, I take it you're a big 80s wrestling fan.
I am. I'm not too much on wrestling now. Back in the days, I was big on wrestling. I don't know. I think I just, life got, you know, when I was fucked up, life just got crazy. I couldn't pay attention to wrestling no more. But big 80s. I used to go to the events. I had fucking lunch with Macho Man.
Whoa. What do you mean? All of that. What do you mean you had lunch with Macho Man? Let's go through
so
that.
They was at I think Nassau Coliseum.
Okay.
Right? In December. My birthday is December 21st, tomorrow.
Oh, actually. Shit. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Bing bong.
Thank yeah, you, it's actually, as this episode drops, it's your birthday right now. Amazing.
Yo, you know the vibe?
Okay.
So my uncle, my father's brother, my father passed when I was four. So his brother used to, you know, look out, take me everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Look out for his brother's kid, which I forever am grateful for. So he used to take me to mad wrestling events, and I loved wrestling. It came around like, yo, in December, around my birthday, you could buy front row tickets to Nassau Coliseum, the WWF show, and then also have dinner, have lunch with Macho Man. So it was like,
maybe
10 to 20 people there, but there was still right. Macho Man. This is when he was bad. He was a bad guy.
Wow.
And
okay.
Shawn Michaels came out. I was, at the time, he wasn't popping. This is before that era. So
yep,
I was
yep.
disappointed. I was like, yeah, they brought Shawn Michaels. I wanted a better wrestler than that. Wound up, he's one of the fucking all-time greatest, you know what I'm saying? But It was a dope experience. I'm fucking the Bushwhackers did that shit to my head. Pause. You know
Yo, you let the Bushwhackers lick your head? Pause.
No, they didn't lick. They went like that. They did
okay,
that.
No lick though.
No lick. Nah.
No, don't ever disrespect me.
Disrespect me licking my head. Hey, yo.
And did you actually get to like have any conversation with Macho Man?
Nah, it was like a big, you know, 20 of us, so I didn't really get to ask like questions and stuff. It was just like more like, oh, me and dinner with you.
You have a picture?
Hell no. I don't know, it wasn't like we didn't have a disposable camera. Bro, I met Biggie in the Big Macy's back in the days. I don't have no proof. Some good little girls, like I cut school, went there, I seen Biggie and Little C's. The other school girls had mad paper. I was like, yo, let me get a paper so he was like, no. Then give me a fucking piece of paper, that bitch.
So you didn't get an autograph or anything from Biggie?
Anything from Biggie back. I was so tight. And my boy had that I was with, the girl gave him a piece of paper. So he still got it. He posted it the other day. Yo, to Tommy, B-I-G.
Wow. Wow.
What the fuck?
And you don't have the shit. So all you have is this made up story. Yeah. And now you go on podcast and lie, tell everyone you met Biggie, and there's no fucking proof. Fuck your life is right.
Oh my God. Yo, I hope I don't know if I videotaped the show we did. I hope I have the videotape of you doing my improv show.
Yo,
bro.
Post that.
If I have it, I'll send it to you, man.
Yo, I would love it.
Hey, Nems, thanks for happy birthday, man. Thanks for making time. We'd love to have you just jump on with us regularly. Whenever you feel like it, you just hit us up and jump on.
Thank you guys, man. You guys are the best, man. Legends in New York City, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
Your success, man, is making me just pure happiness, man. Just
Irish Puerto Rican gang, you heard? There's
nothing filtered about it. It's just what you've been doing, something finally caught on, and you keep doing what you're doing. It's not like you changed your ways and try to appeal to the mass.
That's the best part about it, bro. I didn't have to jump out the window and do no corny sucker shit to go viral. Like, I did it being myself.
It's so rare these days. It really is.
Super rare.
Last thing, what was that day like when we started playing your records on the radio and you were moving around actually doing your job and we were playing
songs? I'm going to tell a story and then we out.
Okay.
I told... Who was it? Who played it? Voila? No.
No, it was Cass. But
Cass.
But the truth
is, I sent them the voice. I said, don't let nobody know. And then Ebro posted it on fucking Twitter. I was like, bro, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So I'm picking up garbage, bro. Fucking, it's like the end of my. I'm a big ass bag stop. Me and my partner, boom, mad cars behind us. They can't get around. Throwing it out. The supercars. I was like, yo.
Go ahead.
Nems, right? I was like, yeah. So he's just standing there. The car behind us. I guess they noticed me. Hot 97 starts playing Bing Bong. They open the door. We're in the middle of Bed-Stuy. Bumps it. Other cars start bumping it. Everybody gets out their car and it's like, the super's like, yo, that's him. That's him. Yo, literally like was a scene from a movie, bro. I'm throwing out garbage. Everybody's out their car fucking jamming at 8 a.m. Bing Bong pumping in the streets. I was like, yo, this is fire. I wish this would have been documented.
There's nobody.
Real New York City moment, bro.
No, it was taping. He was out there doing his job. Sife,
I was in uniform and everything, bro. If they would have been taping me, I'd have been like, nah, chill.
Now, Sife, by the way, in classic fashion, in this moment when it happened, for the record, Cass had the record, but, you know, Cass isn't the one talking all the time. I'm always talking. Ebro starts doing the Bing Bong, and I go, yo, shout out to Nems from Coney Island. That's his joint. Cass then pulls up the record and plays it. And then, of course, Ebro ends up taking credit for it. But it was me and Cass tag teaming on the, yo, this is this guy. And then when I saw it, when I heard your voice note, I was like, yo, this man was out there throwing fucking trash in the moment. It's incredible. Yo, bro, we're happy for you, man. Happy birthday. Have a great day.
Sorry, thank you, guys. One last thing.
Oh, my unrelated. God.
Sorry. Listen, I'm happy for you. You motherfucking garbage guys, though. You know we're behind you. You moving slow on purpose, right?
Bro, you see the fucking truck, bro. Why the fuck you turned the corner? Go around the fucking corner, dickhead.
You can't pull over to the hydrant.
There's no way to pull over. Those trucks are fucking huge. You saw the truck before you came down the block. Don't come behind the truck.
You should put a cone on the end of the block.
Nah, that's where fuck your life comes in. Fuck your life. Bing bong. I'm out of here. Let's see y'all later.
Oh, there he is.
You saw the truck.
Sife, that was a brilliant ending. I will never not trust you.
Billy June, you were right, man. You were right, Billy June.
No, he wasn't.
He was right.
He still wasn't right. We talk for a long time with everyone. That's what we do. But
Billy was right. He was right. He was right to get him on there. I'm not reading your fucking comment.
Wait, what do you mean to get him on there? I got him on there.
No, I know you got him on, but I understand the hype beast of Billy June with that guy. That guy's very charismatic. Good guess.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's funny. He did my improv show years ago. I didn't even know who he was. I forgot how I got him. Maybe Chanel might have got him for me, our publicist at the time. Your publicist, a good friend of ours. But I forgot how I got him. But he came in and told the wildest New York stories. And it was making my improv group uncomfortable how New York the stories were.
Well,
and then I whispered to him, I said, because, you know, we do two stories. So we do a story, we do the set, we do another story. I said, yo, the next story get grimier. He goes, yo, I robbed this cab driver, son.
Yo, I was going to say, I could see the one thing that's going to be complicated for him is if he does continue to get bigger and bigger, he will then have to deal with some of the bullshit.
Of course. Like, is he going to have one of those, you know, Patrice O'Neal moments where it's like he's blowing up in his world, and then he gets on The Office and he has to start being Hollywood, and he goes, no, fuck this.
I know.
You know, like, how about when they call Nems to do an event, they're like, hey, could you, you know, this is a clean event.
Exactly. Or he says that one thing on a video that even though your brand is fuck your life, people still try to come shut you down.
But because that's the weird shit about this whole fucking social media shit, is that video blew up off of, I don't want to say, like, exploiting a homeless guy.
Right. But in the end, he got paid and did well.
But on the other side of it, they always fuck with that homeless guy. So he's their boy. So is it that one video went viral? Because they always fuck with him and he fucks with them and they're cool and they see him on the block. But because that video blew up and they're like, well, they're taking advantage of this homeless guy. But then he got an apartment out of it.
Exactly.
So is it a win? Is it a cancelable moment? You know what I mean? It's like,
well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a bow on this thing and go over to Patreon, because remember, we were talking about your managers, and I wanted to.
I don't know if that's.
No, but I had something. Hold on. What did I want to say based on your managers? I had something I wanted to say.
Okay.
What the fuck was it? I'll figure it out. Plus, right. Yeah. So a listener sent me an email with you and I together talking on that Flex July 4th show. And he put together a montage.
Wait, of Flex.
Remember?
Oh, you're talking about on the radio.
Yes.
You talking about this is before Chamillionaire went to Brooklyn.
This is before Chamillionaire went to Brooklyn.
Oh, it's years ago.
It's years ago. And he sent it's a montage of you and I talking on the air with Flex. And he says he believes this is the origin of Juan Epp happening live on the air. That's right.
No, Juan Epp was before that.
No, it wasn't. This is before July 4th. Site. That was the second I started. That was like brand new.
Why were you on there? All right, we'll talk about it on Patreon.
All right, we'll see you guys on Patreon. And listen, if you've been thinking about it, you've been listening now for the last year, a full year, make this next year the year you sign up for Patreon and get every episode. Billy June's annoying ass prop basically makes us do another episode every week.
I ran into a bunch of Juan Epp fans and they said they love the Patreon.
So that's it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.